This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
They are indeed. The Saints are coming. And I'm coming, me, Matt Beadle, with you for the next half an hour here on Love Sport. My first stint here following hosting the Southampton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Charlie Hawkins, the trusty Charlie Hawkins, will be back with you from 8:30. We'll have the Birmingham Fan Show, Notts Forest, West Brom, Middlesbrough and Preston North End, finishing off proceedings at 10:30. But right now, it is the Southampton Fan Show. Me and Matt Beadle, joined, as ever, by the delightful Ben Stroud from the Archers End Road, the Archers Road End, I should say, Southampton blog. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Plenty coming up over the course of the next hour. Loads of news. Transfer news, of course, for the Saints. Kyle Walker-Peters joining on loan from Spurs. Cedric, is he on his way out to another North London club? That being Arsenal. Yannick Vestergaard. Leicester apparently interested in him. And Spurs apparently interested in captain Pierre Højbjerg too. Shay Adams, he is still a Saint. Are we happy or do we want him out of the club to raise some more funds? And of course, Liverpool up at the weekend trying to avenge, of course, the 2-1 defeat earlier in the campaign. Liverpool now 19 points clear in the Premier League and unbeaten in 41 ridiculous games dating back to last season. But let's not let that deter us. Of course, Saints in ninth, just one defeat in ninth now, 3 points off fifth. I tell you what, Ben, this could be Liverpool's unbeaten run coming to an end. What say you?
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't think that it's necessarily something that I would be 100% ruling out. I think this is the best chance that we have of winning that game and kind of really going there and having a go. Earlier in the season, I'd be looking at it and probably saying, yeah, we could end up being on the end of a bit of a hiding, if I'm honest. But I think we go there playing well. Our confidence is high. We're scoring goals. We seem to have cut out some of the mistakes. And I think bizarrely, feel quite confident about the weekend.
Well, I tell you what, Ben, what a great start to the Southampton Fan Show. We're going to get more into the Liverpool game, of course. We're going to have a bit of reaction from the draw with Spurs, looking ahead to that replay as well. That's coming up on Wednesday. Steve Grant from Total Saints also joins us now. Hello, Steve.
Hiya, good evening.
How you doing, boss? Good week?
Yeah, can't complain.
Good stuff. Well, we were just touching on the Liverpool game then. We're going to come to that probably in the second half of the show. And hey, let's start with some of the transfer news, of course, coming out this week. Kyle Walker-Peters joining on loan till the end of the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, where I kind of think that we almost had this situation where Cedric kind of wants to leave. We know he's going to be going in the summer. Arsenal have come in and said, here, have a little bit of money and we'll take him off your hands. But that's then obviously left us short and we've gone away and found an option. I don't think it's really the option we were necessarily looking for.
So not happy with Kyle Walker-Peters?
I've got no particular issue with it. I think his attributes and certainly his stats in terms of when he's actually got a game for Spurs. But that, I mean, that's kind of the problem. He's played, what, 5 times all season? Mm. And only a dead rubber since September. So he's not coming into the side sort of with any sort of match fitness. And as a result, I mean, we heard in Ralph's press conference earlier that he's not going to be playing on Saturday. Obviously, we know he can't play against Spurs. So he's not going to be in the side until the Burnley game in, what, two and a bit weeks' time. So we've still kind of got the same hole at right back that we've had for, a week or so. Jan Valerie supposedly is back in training, whether he's up to speed or not, given that, Liverpool were, they're no mugs. They're going to have done their homework and know where our weak points are. And they'll have seen the Spurs game on Saturday where basically every Spurs attack came down that side. So we'll see. I think Walker-Peters on his own, I like the attributes that he's going to bring. He's got a bit more pace than Cedric. He's taller than Cedric, which, it doesn't take much. So hopefully we're not going to concede any more sort of headers at the far post, as we've been doing sort of fairly constantly for the last 3 years or so. We'll see. I've got a slight issue with the fact that we haven't got either an option or an obligation to buy in the summer. Because let's face it, if he does well, then the price goes through the roof and you're having to then negotiate with Daniel Levy. Which is tough at the best of times. Mm. And when all of a sudden you've kind of given him the advantage in negotiations, then it makes it even harder.
Yeah, it absolutely does, Steve. Ben, with regards to Cedric as well, moving on, it looks like he's going to move on. He's been with the club since 2015, a good servant to Southampton, more than 100 games. Personally, as a player, I've always really liked him. I think he can certainly offer something from right back. I always thought that at some point he was going to get a move to a bigger club. I don't want to say here on my first appearance on the Southampton show that Arsenal are a bigger club than Southampton. That will get me off on a terrible footing. But this is a player who played for Inter Milan last season. Of course, they had the option to sign him permanently. That one didn't quite work out. He came back to the club, obviously scored against Portsmouth. Everybody remembers that one, but is now out of the side with an injury. Of course, Arsenal are taking on a player who's suffering with a bit of an injury at the moment. So on one sense, you look at that and you think, crikey, is it a slight gamble from Arsenal? But Cedric as a whole, if he was to move on, how do you view his time at the Saints?
Well, I think it's been up and down. I think that he's contributed some important goals at times. It was lovely to see him score against Portsmouth, and he scored an absolute belter against United last December. He's one of those players who I look back and say, yeah, he played for Southampton. He had some good games and he had some absolutely terrible games. Earlier on this season, he was kind of wandering around the pitch half asleep, just didn't really look very interested. I think we've all long known that he doesn't really want to be here anymore, and he feels like his ambitions and his career kind of lies elsewhere. And I think it's the right time for him to go. He's out of contract in the summer, and we get a nice little loan fee for him now. Arsenal get a bit of cover. But yeah, I think as Steve said, it is a bit odd losing, kind of having one right back out and one right back in, when really what we've been looking for is to add to the defence and to really bolster the defence with kind of real quality, not just kind of really replace someone who's could potentially be like for like. So it's a bit bizarre in that sense. But with regard to Cedric, I think he's had some excellent games. I think he's had some, he's certainly played a part in our improvement since the drubbing of Leicester. But overall, I think, if I was to give him a grade, GCSE style, he'd probably get around about a C-.
Wow. I'm surprised by that. That actually surprises me in terms of an overall grade, and I like the way that you've done that as well, Ben. I actually looked at some stats earlier as well with regards to his figures. He's missed a total of 227 days with injury. So I suppose that's potentially another factor that's come into Ralf Hasenhüttl's thinking there. And of course, he openly said that, sometimes football moves along quite quickly and he's ready to leave. Elsewhere in the defence, you mentioned there Jan Vestergaard coming back in, by the way, for the game against Palace. Hadn't played a Premier League game since November. He's come back in, but now he's been linked with a potential move to Leicester City. A surprise one for you guys. Steve, I'll come to you on this one.
I don't I don't understand what they've seen, given that he played in the 9-0. I don't really understand what Brendan Rodgers has seen from that game, or indeed any of the sort of previous 18 months or so that he played for us. I don't quite understand what he's seen that would be... Oh, yes, he'll be perfect for us. Aside, theoretically, well, at the moment, still sort of in a title race. Well, a Champions League race, certainly. And yet he's a player who can't get into a team that lost 9-0 at home 3-4 months ago.
It's a very good point. Perhaps Brendan Rodgers just saw him because he's so tall. Perhaps he just saw the tallest player on the pitch, tallest player in the Premier League, I think he is, isn't he? And just thought, yes.
Quite possibly, yeah.
I'll have him. He's the tall one at the back. He looks handy. That's Jan Vestergaard. Another name that's been mentioned as well, as we get to this crazy point in January with just a couple of days left, less than, 48 hours until this window finishes and tomorrow Jim White spontaneously combusts on Sky Sports News. Pierre Højbjerg, of course, the captain. Spurs reportedly interested in him. Now, I don't want to go down any blind alleys here and say that Carl Walker-Peters has been brought into Southampton to potentially soften up the deal on that one. What are we thinking on this one, Ben?
I can't see him going in this window, and I think Ralph has said the same, and from what I understand, other senior figures in the club have said the same, that he's certainly not going anywhere in this window. Apparently there's a new contract on the table that hasn't been signed yet. I think that both the player and the club are going to really assess where he is and you know what our position is in the summer. From what I can sense at the start of the season, there was a fans forum where he's asked about the new contract, and he was incredibly reticent about it, almost to the point of saying, "Well, you know what happened," which means. In footballer speak, he sounds like he might be quite happy to run down his contract. So I think if that's the case, if he's not going to sign a contract, then we'll probably be looking to sell him in the summer and get a good fee for him. But I don't think he'd be going this window. Watch this space this summer. I think that there's going to be a lot of ins and a lot of outs over the summer for us.
Interesting stuff. Well, this is the Southampton Fan Show. We haven't reacted to the game against Spurs yet. That will be coming next in the second half. We'll also be looking ahead to the clash with Liverpool on Saturday.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Southampton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 8:30 this evening. Then Charlie Hawkins, good old Charlie Hawkins, returns to Love Sport's airwaves as I switch over to Love Sport London. So it depends which one you like best as to who you tune into. And of course, which team you want to listen to. And right now, it is all about the Saints. On the line, we have Ben Stroud from the Archers Road End Southampton blog. Steve Grant joins us from Total Saints 2. Gents, we are now going to hark back to the draw with Spurs last weekend in the FA Cup fourth round. Of course, Heung-min Son putting Spurs into the lead, and a great finish from Sofyan Boufal, you've got to say, to get that equaliser. Ben, what did you make of the game in as a whole? Did you think that the draw was deserved?
I really enjoyed it. It was a really good cup tie. Two teams putting out strong starting lineups, and they both went for it, and that's really all you can ask for in a weekend where so many teams, you know, could be argued, you know, really went beyond the pale in terms of devaluing the competition. It was nice to see two teams really go for it. And I enjoyed it. I do think a draw on the balance was a fair result. But once again, I think we can go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium without any fear. I think we've got a very good chance of picking something up there.
Steve, in your opinion, a draw, a fair result? I know it now means that the fixture list piles up, of course, and then it's a replay on Wednesday. I suppose the good thing in this is that you've got a bit of a gap now after that Premier League clash with Liverpool.
Yeah, and of course, we're then into our winter break, aren't we? Which, it's a whole load of nonsense. But it does give us that week and a half to recover. I mean, I don't think the sort of 3 or 4 days sort of less that we're now getting compared to Burnley, I don't think that's going to be significant. As long as we don't pick up sort of long-term injuries from the game on Wednesday. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously a game that neither side wanted, but from the as you said earlier, from the balance of play, I think was absolutely fair result. I mean, both sides. I mean, the game's so open that I mean, it was one of those you could have been 6-6, and I don't think anybody would have said, "Well, that's just been ridiculous."
Well, 6-6 would have certainly been an interesting result, Stephen. I have to say that Angus Gunn, partly responsible for keeping that scoreline down. He came in for Alex McCarthy. Of course, McCarthy has been back in that starting lineup since the aforementioned 9-0 that probably seems to get mentioned every time on the Southampton show. We want to try and eventually get that out of our system. But on the Goalkeepers Union podcast, which you can catch on Love Sport every Saturday evening from 11 p.m, Richard Lee was talking about a great save made from Angus Gunn from Lucas Moura and whether he could have done better with the goal that was scored by Son.
When you're moving across the goal, you're moving laterally across the goal, it's very hard to dive back on yourself. So your position isn't necessarily central in terms of where the ball is and where the goal is. You're not, if you were to freeze frame it, it's not exactly right. If anything, you'd probably leave slightly more to the near post. Because of your momentum going that way, you're able to dive that way. Now, if they come back across you, realistically, your only chance of making the save is with your foot. So the key to this is all about positioning. Now, he got his positioning absolutely spot on in order to get the toe to it to make the save. But it's a very difficult skill, and it's quite hard to explain. But just try and picture that. If you are moving across the goal, you would leave ever so slightly more to your near, knowing that you can throw yourself down to your near and having that foot, that trailing foot, to be able to make the save.
Could he, however, have done better with the goal from Son? I looked at this and I thought, oh, is that a goalkeeper who hasn't been playing much recently?
Look, it's certainly not a goalkeeping error. And I mean, I'd argue no. I think if he makes a save, it's a world-class save. It's very different, by the way, a very different situation to the one he saved with his foot. You know,
Could he have gone with his feet?
Well, a couple of people have said that. Could he go with his feet? No, is the short answer. And the reason being is that the shot is that far away. It's different. This is where it's not just about positioning. It's also about the distance between you and the ball. Now, of course, if you're very, very close to the ball, you can spread. You can do the long barrier, they call it, the De Gea, and make a save like that. Now, when it's a little bit further out, maybe 6 to 10 yards, that might be where your feet come in. And again, De Gea, we see make a lot of saves with his feet. And of course, Angus Gunn did in this. When they're shooting from where they are there, where Son's shooting, he's a good, 20 yards out. Angus Gunn's set 4 to 5 yards out. So no, 100% you have to go with your hands. The only minor criticism is, does he get enough power away in his dive? And that's not an error. That's a case of, is it savable? Is there a keeper out there that can explode down? Possibly. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if a De Gea was facing that shot, whether he's got the athleticism and the power to get down to a shot like that. It's something we'll never know. But no, I think to criticise him would be very, very harsh. I think his positioning was fine. I think his decision-making was fine to go with his hands. I think the only thing is he just didn't quite have the power to really explode with the dive to get there and be able to get fingertips to it.
That was Richard Lee there speaking on the Goalkeepers Union podcast. You can catch that here on Love Sport every Saturday evening from 11 p.m. Just giving his reaction to the performance from Angus Gunn. And there was a bit of criticism on Gunn for that goal scored by Son. Ben, I just want to come to you on this. Angus Gunn has obviously came in for a decent amount of money from Manchester City, I suppose. He's been in and out of the side. He's been dropped since that 9-0 defeat. Alex McCarthy coming in. In terms of the goalkeeper situation at the club, McCarthy, Gunn, are you guys comfortable with this, or do you think that maybe that's an area where the club potentially need to strengthen?
I think that Gunn is a decent backup keeper. I think we need to look at the goalkeeping positions in the summer again. I think that we'll review pretty much every position in the summer. But going back to Saturday, I do think that his, you know, after Leicester, after being absolutely shell-shocked in that game, he was taken out of the team more for his own kind of safety and to kind of help him recover from that, because you'd lose a lot of confidence off of that. Son's goal, I can understand why. I do think it, when you look at it from the angle, you know, I rewatched the highlights today, it does look soft on first viewing. But then when you look at the build up and you see that there would have been another player in the box, maybe kind of cutting across, because Dan's so tangled with Dele Alli in the lead up to it, it would have looked very different. Someone could have potentially got a block in, which is why everyone complained after the, you know, where the players were were up in arms after the goal went in. I think it was a combination of, yes, you know, he probably could have done a little bit better, but he's not quite good enough to do that. I don't think you can really compare him to De Gea. But I think he was definitely, yeah, I think that he redeemed himself somewhat on Saturday, especially with a save from Moura. And he's done that before. He's actually kind of quite good with, you know, getting blocks in, especially with his feet. But McCarthy is still first choice for me.
Okay, well, Steve, look, let's move on to the weekend. Liverpool, massive game at Anfield. Now, I say that because Liverpool are 19 points clear, of course. They are stretching their unbeaten run, challenging Arsenal for those 49 games unbeaten. As things stand, they're on 41. The big stat that came out after their most recent victory, of course, against West Ham was that they've beaten every single team in the Premier League this season. They go back to zero again now, 90 more games to come. The last time that Southampton won at Anfield since returning to the Premier League, of course, was 2013. Dejan Lovren with the goal on that occasion. Steve, this particular game, Southampton in pretty decent form at the moment, as we know, in the Premier League. Just one defeat in nine. Do we dare to dream and think that the Saints could be the first team to defeat Liverpool this season?
It's possible. I mean, obviously, the main issue is that they're a very, very good side, and for a club of kind of our stature and resources, even if we go out and have the perfect game, we could still quite easily lose. But I mean, a couple of things have kind of fallen our way, I suppose. In that, obviously, Liverpool have had a game on Wednesday, although they pretty much strolled past West Ham. Really, I don't think they really got out of first gear, let alone second gear, in order to win that one. And Sadio Mane is, of course, out injured, which does help us a little bit, because, I mean, for all that Salah and Van Dijk get the kind of biggest share of the plaudits for me, Sadio Mane has been the player of the season by a country mile. And without him in that side this season, they would not be 19 points clear, without any shadow of a doubt.
Player of the season throughout the entire Premier League, do you mean, Steve?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And he is, for me, he has been the outstanding player, just outright consistency of such a high level. I mean, you've got certain players who can put in a 10 out of 10 every two or three games, someone like De Bruyne or someone like that, who is an incredible player on his day, but will also throw in the occasional seven out of 10, and maybe doesn't quite do it on certain occasions. Mane's been probably an 8.5, 9 out of 10 every week this season. And he's been absolutely incredible. And the Liverpool's attack, while it's not been, doesn't feel as if it's been as potent as last season, it's meant that everybody is kind of backing off and being a little bit more scared of them. They're giving them a lot more respect and playing a lot more defensively, which means that Liverpool's defence isn't really being troubled an awful lot. So Van Dijk's not had a massive amount to do, and the fact that they've kind of chopped and changed his partner at the back because of injuries and things like that, it's kind of not really affected them. But I do think that we've got an opportunity here where we can, everything's got to go our way in this game for us to get anything out of it. But if they have a slight off day, and they've not been perfect by any stretch of the imagination in terms of their performances, the results obviously have been pretty much perfect. I think there is a chance. I mean, I think the bookies' odds of 10-1 on the win, 7-1 on draw no bet, I think is probably about right. I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that we could be the ones to end it, which, I mean, let's face it, would be absolutely glorious.
Oh, it would be
immensely satisfying.
100%. Listen, before you go, Steve, I just want to get a very quick score prediction from you.
Well, I do actually have some money on the draw, no bet. So I'm going to go for a wildly optimistic 1-1 draw.
Lovely stuff. That was Steve Grant from Total Saints. And Ben, before you go, just a quick score prediction, boss.
1-1 as well. Yeah, I'm going for a 1-1 draw.
A draw.
We'll hold them.
Lovely stuff. A draw for the Saints against Liverpool on Saturday. This has been the Southampton Fans Show here on Love Sport. We'll see you next week, 8 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.